All right, the Shilling Show rolls on here on a Turbo Tuesday edition of the program, and he's back here in studio with us. We've missed him in his absence. David Murata is the president of Murata Wealth Management, online at murataonmoney.com. Today we're talking a lot about inflation, which so many people have questions. In fact, we'll open up the phone lines here in a few minutes at 977-1070 to take your comments or questions. David Murata, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, so let's start off with this, because I think a lot of people don't really understand what inflation is. I'm thinking back to the whip inflation now buttons as if this was something we're going to have a boxing match with and fight it and beat it down. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, inflation is not rising prices, because that's not the definition of inflation. Inflation is an increase in the money supply compared to those prices. So if you think about it as rising prices, then you want to blame all the companies and they're gouging us and why are they charging so much. If you think about who is responsible for the money supply, well, that's the government. Mm. And the government printed 40% of all the money that's ever been in circulation, and that's now coming back. So it's the too much money chasing the same amount of services or not enough services.
Yeah. So when we talk about the government, this is another area of confusion for people. To what extent is the Fed involved, the Federal Reserve, versus the United States government? Because those are separate entities.
They are, but the Federal Reserve's responsibility is to try to mitigate the disaster that Congress does. So you don't want to blame the Fed, because they're just trying to maintain an even money supply and to make everything, you know, sort of as good as they can. It's really Congress that's been giving away money, and everyone wants money given away. We're giving money away to people who, because they got laid off. Why did they get laid off? Well, because we made them get laid off, mm-hmm. because we closed down a lot of businesses. Why are we giving money to students? Well, they borrowed a lot of money, and now we need to pay them back. Why are we paying them back? Because we have bleeding. You know, we have tender hearts, and we don't like to see people in debt. It doesn't matter that helps the richest among us, because only the richest and well-off among us go to college. We're just trying to help everyone, and that's not the purview of government. Government is supposed to make it as light a touch as possible, because every time government gets involved in something, they end up messing it up. Mm-hmm. They think they're doing something good. So like with Obamacare, they said, hey, we're going to take over student loans, because student loans always make money. You can never lose money from student loans. And then they started giving away bigger amounts, and they started getting people hooked on the bigger amounts they were giving away. And now they want to erase that, even though that was supposed to help pay for Obamacare. And, government is influencing things in a way that the market forces are trying to fight. And you're always trying to fight against market forces. And in that equation, market forces ultimately will win. No matter how much you spend on it, market forces will win.
So, David, the government actually benefits from inflation. And I'd like for you to explain to us how that is, why there's a vested interest in the government inflating the money supply, because it's good for them.
Yeah, the government benefits from inflation in multiple ways. One way is, every time you have inflated assets, they get to tax you with capital gains. So a lot of the appreciation in the markets is simply inflation. Mm-hmm. And the markets go up by inflation, then they get to tax you on that. They also tax more of your Social Security. So there are fixed incomes for Social Security. And when those fixed incomes were set, they were set at fixed amounts. So those are not inflation adjusted dollars. The first $25,000 or $32,000, if you're married, mm-hmm. of Social Security gets taxed at 50%. When the $25,000 and the $32,000 were set back in 1983, those inflation adjusted numbers would be $67,000 and $86,000, mm-hmm. meaning that they were only going to tax the rich people mm-hmm. when they put them in place. And now they're taxing basically everyone. And then in 1993, when they started to tax even more, they started to tax 85% of your Social Security. They again set them at $34,000 and $44,000 married filing jointly. And that was the equivalent today of $62,700 and $81,200. Again, just trying to hit the rich. So they put these measures in place, and now people are getting their Social Security taxed gradually over inflation that's gone from the rich down to the middle class, now down to, you know, you have to be pretty poor to avoid Social Security tax.
You know, I'm looking, you mentioned how the government benefits, and I'm thinking now of those with the hand in the pocket and local government here in Charlottesville and Albemarle County. But I think about inflation, particularly in the value of used cars. And so all of a sudden, you know, you've got a car that's worth more money. Now, it may not be that way for long, but you're going to get taxed. The tax is going way up on those. And the same thing with your property and your property real estate taxes. A lot of the increase in property values is due to inflation. And yet we're getting taxed on that when we sell the property.
Yes. Capital gains tax should be zero because it's just going up by inflation. And if something has appreciated in value, you really shouldn't be taxing it at all.
Let's go to the phones because he's been hanging on for a while here. He's got a comment or a question regarding inflation. We say hello to Mason. Mason, you're on with David Murata. Go right ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Afternoon, gentlemen.
Yes, thank you.
Three things. You're welcome, sir. Three things. Two I'm going to speak about, and one I'm just going to leave for your guest. He'll know what I mean, and he'll talk about it. CPI, good numbers. Inflation may be, if not coming down, slowing up. We'll see. I went into a grocery store the other day in Salem, Virginia. I had been to the same grocery store here in Charlottesville. I wanted a bottle of seltzer water, a two-liter bottle. They quit selling them, at least at this grocery, at two local grocery stores. They only had 1 liter bottles. They were $1.38. In Salem, they still had the two liter bottle for 99 cents, twice as much. The stores, I believe, are jacking up prices because people expect the prices to go up. Now, $3 trillion. $3 trillion to stay home. Nice day, gentlemen.
Okay. David, I'm going to let you comment on that.
Yeah, so all three of his are brilliant. First of all, the CPI, good numbers. The CPI index, we did an article recently. The CPI index has probably been underreporting inflation by as much as 1.23% per year for the past 26 years. So we did 1996, they changed how CPI gets calculated. They reduced the amount of inflation that we would have. They were trying to reduce it by maybe 1.1%. This is the Boskin Commission. And they started to do things like hedonic deprecator. You're getting more for your value. So you really, you know, the computer you buy back in 1996 doesn't do half the things the computer today. So we'll count that all as deflation. You know, the creative substitution, you know, if beef prices go up, y'all eat chicken. And if chicken prices go up, y'all eat tofu. Mm-hmm. That was all built into it. I use something. It's really kind of funny. It was intended as a joke, but it's the Big Mac index. Mm-hmm. And a Big Mac in 1996 cost $2.36. And they have the average price of a Big Mac. It's been published every year since then. Currently in December of 2021, that's a year ago, it was $5.81.
Wow.
That shows an inflation that is 3.54% per year, and the official CPI is only 2.31. That's a difference of 1.23. So that difference of 1.23 compounded for 26 years mm-hmm. means that you're getting 37% less if you would just keep up with CPI than you would if you'd actually kept up with inflation. That mm-hmm. means that Social Security is paying 35.75% less. So this 35.75% less is, you know, that's just eating away at Social mm-hmm. Security. So CPI is not even a good number. It's actually underreporting it by a little bit. People sometimes claim it's underreporting it by a lot, but I go to the Big Mac Index, and if you look at the Big Mac Index, that's measuring all sorts of different things that go into a Big Mac, including the labor that goes into a Big Mac.
Let's go back to the phones, 977-1070, and before we go to the break, which is coming up, we'll say hello to Tom. Tom, question or comment for David Murata, go right ahead.
Yeah, I like David's comments on a couple of other ways that I'm thinking that the federal government may benefit from inflation. One being that as the dollars become more worthless, it makes the national debt look smaller, and it encourages them to go ahead and spend more money and print more dollars. And secondly, people that have limited resources spend a much higher percentage of their available funds on things that are inflating. People that have plenty of money don't. It's a nuisance, but they don't have to. They spend a very, very much smaller percentage of their income on those things. Your comments.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
He is correct that the national debt is decreasing in its real purchasing power. If you just paid off the national debt by printing more money, that would devalue your currency tremendously, but it would also just pay off the debt. So the government can always just pay off the debt. It as a money manager and a financial planner, it really means that you should not be invested in the U.S. dollar. Mm. So people who at this point, you know, I was talking to a new client and they said, yeah, I just want to make sure I keep some money in cash because I want to keep some percentage of my money, maybe 10 or 15% of my money in cash. That costs a lot to keep that much money in cash because that's just going to be devalued every single year. Back to Mason's question, I wouldn't blame the grocery store for raising prices. You can find intermittent prices that are good, but I don't think the grocery store is gouging you there. When I go to the grocery store and I'm paying, you know, $200 for groceries instead of $120 for groceries, that's really just inflation. That's not a change in the products. Because consumer staples, that's just the things that you're going to buy no matter what it costs. And consumer staples is actually a good thing to invest in because it's one of the few things that we're willing to pay because we have to buy them. And so that's a good investment. $3 trillion to stay home. and it didn't cost us anything except this massive inflation that we're now dealing with, and we're trying to work through all that.
We've all become 30% more poor as a result of this. I think that's the ultimate part of this. Our standard of living has been reduced by that much, if not more.
And you know, inflation is really just a tax on people who hold money, who hold cash.
Let's go to the break. I have callers on the line. I promised to get to you right after the break, so hold tight, please. And thank you so much for your calls. We're on with David Murata, and The Shilling Show will continue into our final segment on inflation. All right, The Shilling Show continues and into our final segment with David Murata. The topic is inflation, and we have callers who've been very patient, so let's go to the phones here and get to them. First, we say hello to Carl. Carl, you're on with David Murata.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
And to you.
I'm certainly not an economist, so I'll give my two cents on inflation. I think along with all the massive federal spending of the last 2 years, I don't think inflation is probably going to go down until the Obama administration takes its the boot off the neck of the ass, sorry, the oil and gas industry, the cost of energy, prices of fuel and gasoline, diesel fuel and all that stuff. What does David think about that?
All right. Thank you, Carl.
Yeah, Carl, I tend to agree with you that inflation is not going to give up. What's interesting is if you look at the 5-year inflation protected securities and the 5-year non-inflation protected securities, that gives you a feel for what the market thinks that the next 5 years of inflation will be. And that's a very quick number you can get. It's all public knowledge. And currently, the next 5 years of inflation is expected to be 2.36%. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why that's so low. I don't think it's going to be that low. I think a lot of people are believing the Fed when they said, you know, inflation will be transitory and it's not going to be that much. And they keep moderating that narrative to make it more and more permanent. But I agree with you, you would do better to invest in inflation-protected securities at this point than non-inflation-protected securities, because the only amount for inflation-protected securities that they're counting on for inflation is that 2.36%.
Back to the phones, and we say hello to Joe. Hey, Joe, you're on with David Murata.
Hi. The price of gold is less than it was in October 2020. Why isn't the price of gold higher now, given the inflation that we have? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Good question, because I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah, it's partly because the price of gold goes up and down almost irrelevant for what's happening in the markets and what's going on. The price of gold is incredibly volatile. It is just wild, and it goes up and it goes down. You know, the price of gold went down from 1980 to 2002. It lost 70-some-odd, 80% of its value. And that was in market times when it should have been going up. So the price of gold can go up and down almost irrelevant of what else is going on in the markets and what you would expect for inflation. The price of gold tends to go up when there's a certain amount of stress, but when there's not enough or too much, it doesn't behave itself. So I've written articles on this. I think that the correct value for gold in a portfolio is zero, because it doesn't have that greater return on average. It just has an inflation return, and the volatility is off the charts. So something that just appreciates by inflation and is off the charts with volatility doesn't really have a great place in a portfolio.
So we've got just about 2 minutes left, David. So what should people be doing to protect themselves from inflation right now? Because I think that's the big question on everybody's mind. We know we're all getting eaten alive here.
Right. So I think one of the things I wanted to make sure I mentioned in the article on our website today is that pension lump sums are affected by rising interest rates. There's basically this year, pensions will reset their lump sum, and they'll reset it to 17% or more less than they're currently at. So if you have gotten a pension lump sum estimate and you were counting on that for retirement and you're retiring in the near future, make sure you know the date that your pension will gather that data, and make sure you know the date your pension will reset their lump sums, because those are happening in the next year. We have the earliest I ever heard was December 1st, and that's just over now, so you've missed that one. The latest I've heard is next October, but they query the rates sometimes once a year, and then a month or 2 months or 3 months afterwards, they resent their rates. And if you have anything with a pension that you're retiring, you should make sure you've done that. And then for inflation, we've done the analysis. Stocks will go up by inflation plus something. So it's very important to remain invested in the stock market. We're at one of those odd places where the stock market's gone down, you know, by more than 20%, and inflation has gone up by 8 or 9%. And so we're in one of those weird places where it feels like the stock market is riskier than just staying in cash or doing inflation protected securities. But this is the moment at which you need to be invested in the stock market. The stock market will appreciate on average by inflation plus something. And there's an article that has, you know, the many values of inflation in severe inflation, high inflation, what the stock market and bond market does. And that's coming out on our website in the near future. And it's just, make sure you stay invested is the short answer for that.
And give us the website if people want to be in touch with you.
It's at maratonmoney.com. That's M-A-R-O-T-T-A on money.com.
We left a lot on the table because there was so much more to get to, but maybe we'll do a part two on inflation because this is nothing that's going away anytime soon. David Marotta, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.